from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to go a little bit further into the press conference held by Farhan Zaidi on Tuesday at Oracle Park and how it pertains to his search for the new Giants manager, which is going to be a fascinating story all the way through until they ultimately make a hire. And then even once that happens, we'll have a lot to say about coaching staff construction, etc. Also want to take today to talk about some upcoming decisions for the Giants. Yes, they're going to have a couple months to make these decisions, but the players who are impending free agents and also the Giants arbitration eligible players that they're going to have to make decisions on, essentially whether or not to bring them back in 2020. And lastly, we'll discuss how the Oakland A's got eliminated from the postseason last night in the wild card game after a 97-win season, the second year in a row that that's happened to them. So we'll talk about kind of the current landscape around baseball where you can have such a phenomenal season and just get eliminated in one game, and we'll relate it to the Giants, who have snuck into the postseason with way worse records than that and been able to have success. So we'll discuss that topic as well. The postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. So yeah, the first thing I want to do is reading back through kind of some quotes from the Farhan Zaidi press conference that took place on Tuesday. There were some more nuggets in there that I didn't actually say on yesterday's show. In fact, there was one quote that I meant to reference, but actually I wouldn't say I incorrectly referenced it, but I didn't give the full quote, and I think this one drives the point home a little bit more. So the message was about what is the number one quality that Zaidi is seeking in a new manager. And we talked yesterday about how it was relationship building. I think there's this common myth that new age front offices don't care about, you know, the manager having a good relationship with players, and that it's all about numbers and they're totally out of touch with how the players feel about the game and how the game is actually played. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's just a ridiculous thing to think and assume. You have to have the players on board with what the manager and the team is doing. We saw a little bit of that come out that was not happening early on in the season with Derek Holland making those comments about how he had no idea what the front office was doing. We haven't heard those types of comments from Giants players in possibly ever. I can't remember ever hearing anything like that. We also had Jeff Samardzija being really outspoken about openers and how he thinks they're awful and terrible for the game, and that, you know, any team that does them and any players who agree to do them are essentially being disrespected as starting pitchers. So you can't be having that. You need a manager, especially if your team is going to implement those strategies. You need a manager who can get the players to buy in and not really doubt what they're doing, and at the very least not sound off to the media about it. You need a manager who can be an advocate for the players and that they feel good about what he's doing, and they're not going to just go over or behind the back of the front office and speak to the media. So there's just no doubt that that is a super important quality for the next manager to have, someone who can appease the players and someone who the players will play hard for and buy into what the front office is doing. They have to be someone who has good relationships with both sides. And that's the quote from Zaidi here that we didn't get to yesterday, but I was remembering but didn't exactly nail the quote. So here's the quote from Zaidi. To me, the number one quality is relationship building, and most importantly, in terms of the players. End quote. He was then asked about the Bruce Bochy ceremony and whether that would impact or how it influenced his feeling about hiring the new manager. And he said, "That's a real reflection of the success that the organization had over his time here, the trust and the relationship he built with players. But the flip side of that is having a relationship with the front office and being able to work with them." In the modern game, having a manager that can have productive and trusting relationships in both avenues is really important. And I think you see that with some of the best managers in the game now. So that's really going to be number one on the list, as far as I'm concerned, being able to create those relationships on both sides of the house, so to speak, end quote. So that's the point that needs to be driven home time and time again, that it's really important to have productive and trusting relationships on both sides, with the front office and with the players. And that's not just some unicorn fantasy. That is something that we have seen with other players and other managers in other organizations. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. I think Kevin Cash of the Tampa Bay Rays is a tremendous example of this. The Rays do some really unorthodox things to win baseball games. And do the players complain about it? Do the players not buy into it? Do the players bemoan the openers? No, they do not. They 100% pull on the same rope, and there they were last night winning the wild card game as a unit, and they're advancing to face the Astros in the American League Division Series, and I would give them as good of a chance as any team to take down the Astros with the talent that they've built on that roster with very limited payroll flexibility. So the Giants hope to be like the Rays, but with big pockets, and that is what the Dodgers were. I mean, they took the their president of baseball operations away from the Tampa Bay Rays, and that's what they did. They kind of had that same mentality that the Rays have of being innovative and shrewd with all of their moves and making savvy moves, but then you add payroll flexibility to that equation and you get a juggernaut like the Dodgers, and that is the direction that the Giants are heading, and that is what I would expect from Farhan Zaidi, and then having a really good and new age manager who also is respected and understood and really good with the players is definitely, obviously, the number one most important thing. I don't know where this myth comes from that new age managers, like, it, nobody cares whether or not they get along with the players or can lead the players. That is, nothing could be further from the truth. Of course you have to have that quality in a manager, and no new age front office is ever just ignoring that fact. So anyway, that took up a lot of our time. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk about Giants impending free agents and arbitration eligible players and briefly kind of discuss what happened to the A's last night for the second year in a row, actually winning 97 games and losing in the wild card game. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. With every pair purchased, a pair is donated. Go to bombas.com/locked to get 20% off your first purchase. Everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about some upcoming decisions for the Giants, impending free agents, arbitration-eligible players, and we'll discuss the A's wildcard situation and how it kind of reflects on the current state of baseball in 2019 and beyond. So in terms of impending free agents and arbitration-eligible players, these are the ones that can swing the Giants offseason one way or the other. Players you stand to lose and players you have the option to bring back at a projected cost that you can kind of estimate. So the players who are going to be free agents, we all know Madison Bumgarner is going to be a free agent. Pablo Sandoval as well. Fernando Abad, Will Smith, Stephen Vogt. Those are Giants who are entering free agency. In terms of arbitration eligible players, we have Kevin Pillar, who will be entering his third year of arbitration eligibility, his last year. So after that, he would be a free agent the following season. We have Donovan Solano entering year two of arbitration eligibility, Kyle Bearclaw entering year two of arbitration eligibility, Alex Dickerson entering his first year of arbitration eligibility, and then we have several Giants who are pre-arbitration, so they can just essentially be paid the major league minimum and be retained. So among those players, there are several key decisions the Giants will have to make. Farhan Zaidi talked in his press conference about a desire at a certain level of interest to bring back all of the team's free agents. Bumgarner, Sandoval, Abad, Smith, and Vogt. I kind of don't necessarily believe that 100%. I'm not sure there's a ton of interest in bringing back, for example, Pablo Sandoval. I know that might sound like blasphemy for a lot of Giants fans, but he's a pretty one-dimensional player at this point, and his standout skill, you know, just being decent from the left side, is, I don't know if that's enough to bring him back for any kind of substantial contract and just to use a roster spot on someone who is so inflexible. I know some people want to say that he can still play catcher and he can play third and he can play first, but the question is, does he play those positions well? Is he going to provide value on the bases? Can he sustain any kind of strong offensive performance at the age of 33? I wouldn't anticipate Pablo Sandoval being brought back next season. But, you know, for Bumgarner and Smith and Vogt, I think those are three guys the Giants would definitely be interested in bringing back, depending on the cost. And the arbitration eligible guys are interesting as well. We talked at length about Kevin Pillar's status with the Giants. I think he is likely to be tendered a contract given the value he provided in 2019 and the projected cost in 2020. I think he would be a small bargain at the projected cost. Some more interesting cases to me are Donovan Solano and Kyle Bearclaw being second-year arbitration eligible. Bearclaw earned $1.725 million this season, so he would be due probably for a raise, and I don't know that he would be worth it to the Giants for a raise, so he is, to me, a non-tender candidate. And Donovan Solano only earned $650,000 this year, so not sure what his projected salary would be next year in arbitration, but he had quite a strong season for the Giants, so wouldn't be shocked at all if the Giants did tender him a contract. You know, a raise from $650,000 probably would not be too substantial, and he provided quite a bit of value as a right-handed platoon mate for the Giants in the middle infield, capable of playing shortstop and second base, a little bit redundant with Mauricio Dubon, so definitely, to me, a chance he's not tendered a contract, but he can be retained, and it's worth paying attention to as we approach the December 2nd deadline for tendering contracts to arbitration-eligible players. So Alex Dickerson, entering his first year of arbitration eligibility, I definitely think would be worth tendering a contract to. Saw the upside in his game this season. No reason to just give up on him for a rebuilding team like the Giants. You've got to, you know, take the upside there and just hope that he can put together a healthy season, and he shouldn't cost too much in arbitration given all the injuries that he sustained in 2019 that cost him so much playing time. I believe Joey Rickard is also arbitration eligible, but he's not showing up on this list on Roster Resource, which is a great resource for MLB rosters, but he's not showing up here. It's either Rickard's first or second year of arbitration eligibility. We'll circle back on that at some point. But lastly, just want to talk about what happened last night in Oakland. The A's getting eliminated in the one-game wildcard for the second consecutive year after winning 97 games in the regular season. So the point I just want to make is that throughout all the Giants' championship runs and even the entire Bruce Bochy era, they never won as many as 97 games. And the A's have done it two consecutive years only to be eliminated in the one-game wildcard playoff game. So I just need to mention the fact that the Giants are fortunate to have, you know, to have come away with three championships despite not always having the best teams and getting hot in October. So this is kind of a sensitive topic. Some people like to say that the postseason is reflective of, you know, the genius of Bruce Bochy or the roster or whatever. But the fact is that a one-game situation is always more or less a coin flip. You can't definitively say that in a one-game situation, the Giants were guaranteed to win that game. And we're talking about the Giants had to play the wild card game in 2014, and then they had to win like six elimination games in 2012. So all of those times, we're talking about if just something goes wrong in any of those games, we're not talking about three World Series championships. So I think we make a little bit too much of drawing conclusions based on the outcomes of these coin flip type of games. That's not to say that credit should not be given to the Giants for winning those games, but it is to say just how fortunate they've been to come away with all of those victories. A team like the A's, you know, 97 wins two straight years only to be bounced from the postseason just because of losing one game. You know, and there's this famous line by Billy Beane that his stuff doesn't work in the postseason. And what that means is that his stuff, you know, is about gaining advantages. And over the course of 162, those advantages are always going to rise you to the top. But in a one-game situation, it's just random to a large extent. And anyone who says otherwise needs to simply look at the fact that any of the best teams in baseball in any season, whether it was this year or any previous year, but even just looking at this year, we'll look at the Astros, who are indisputably one of the top three teams and, you know, by most people's accounts, number one. They won like 107 games this year, which means they lost 55. So 55 losses for the Astros. They are very capable of losing in one game. And, you know, to say that that's impossible in the postseason, somehow if you lose a game in the postseason, it actually means something about your talent level necessarily, is just false. Because, you know, we can have on any given night, the Tigers can beat the Astros, the Orioles can beat the Astros. So anyway, we'll continue to monitor the postseason and see what becomes of it. It was an exciting start with the two wild card games, and now the division series get underway starting today. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow, probably doing more of a season in review, kind of taking a step back and looking at some of the performances by Giants players. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the Giants in 2019. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.